And along with that gift is the position of an evangelist, one of the five. Do you remember that we went through? That one of the five is an evangelist, the trainer of evangelism in the church, not only to train those who are gifted in it, but to train those who don't necessarily have the gift of evangelism so that they can do it too. And as I thought about that, I thought, man, I could use myself as a good example because I love evangelism, but I know I don't have the gift because I just don't have the knee-jerk thing to talk to people about Christ like evangelists do. If you know a good evangelist, their knee-jerk thing is to talk to people about Christ, right? And I stand there and they'll be talking to me and I'll be scratching my head and all of a sudden I think, oh, wait a minute, they want to talk about Christ. And so I know I don't have the gift, but when I look back over my life, I've led hundreds and hundreds of people to Jesus Christ. I've had the honor as a pastor, but even before as a pastor, and I would say thousands, but I don't know the number, so I can say hundreds and hundreds of people because I was taught how to share my faith right out of the chute. And I remember when I first accepted Christ, I started sharing, I started collecting people and talking to people because I was so excited. And over the years, I've just had that opportunity. And so I know that whether you are an evangelist or not an evangelist, whether you have the gift of evangelism or you don't have the gift of evangelism, all of us need to know how to share our faith. Amen? So we're going to have those classes going on well after this so that you can learn to do that because there are opportunities when people will come up and say, hey, you know, you look like you are pretty happy and have peace. Can you help me? What an opportunity to step through that door and share Jesus Christ with them. All right, so secondly, last week we identified our mission, and you remember I called it a commission, and we say commission, and we don't use that word as much as mission these days, but it's co-mission, meaning the mission together and evangelism, because we together are going to do this thing, and hopefully that will be the first step in many events that we can do to bring people in to present Jesus Christ. So let's start with our verse today in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18, and then we're going to add 19 to it. I will read the white, and you will read the... Okay, and how loud do you read it? Really loud, okay, so we all can hear. All right, so for through him... we both have access.
By one Spirit to the Father.
Man, you guys are awesome. Man, I need. You know what I need to do is tape record this and take it to the Sunday morning. There, you know, one of those kind of deals. And now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners,
but fellow citizens with the saints,
and members of the household of God. Amen, huh? Man, we're fellow citizens and members of the household of God. And we can plead to our Father as his children because we are no longer strangers. And the other word is transients. I don't know if that was kind of a slam or what, but when it says foreigners, transients, people without a place to stay. And we're now part of his kingdom. And we are his children, and we do have a place to stay. And I love it when the scripture says we're citizens. Don't you? We are citizens. Citizens with our Father and his Son, Jesus Christ, and where all that exists, we are already citizens there. We just have to wait this world out and minister to people. And one day we'll take our last breath and we'll be in the presence of the Father and the Son and all of the angelic realm where we already have our citizenship. I think that's going to be great. So, he hears us when we pray. He hears us when we think. He hears us when we groan and we've been through all that those different concepts. But the unsaved person really doesn't have a God to talk to or to plead with until that person comes to the place where they want to surrender their life to Jesus Christ, and then the Father hears them clearly. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And there's three different places it says that, one in the Old Testament and two in the New. But as we learned last week, we have they have to hear that salvation message and that saved us and from someone like us. And you know, I thought about it, and I thought we can't be greedy or lazy. It's very easy to go, okay, I'm saved. You know, that's the main thing. I really think that we need to look outward. And I want to continue looking at our mission as a church, and nothing is clearer than these words that we heard last week in 2 Corinthians 5:18. I'm just going to do 18:20. Now all things, and you remember that's the all of the body, all the people in the body of Christ. Now the body of Christ are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors, we are official representatives for Christ, as though God were pleading through us, we implore you, we beg you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled, be resolved, be reunited with God. In other words, we beg you to come back to God. Now I think last week I talked about a pastor that was struggling in homiletics, and he asked me to help him, and I talked to him about really having the authority to stand up, right? And so this week I talked to him, and he said, okay, do you have any scripture for that? Where do you think I went? We are ambassadors, brother. And he looked at that, and I gave him a few others, and he said, okay, you're right. I'm going for it. So it'll be interesting to see how he did. All right, but it all seems pretty clear, doesn't it? We have this ministry, we're ambassadors, we can share Christ. And yet, as I looked at that, I thought, you know, I've done a lot of study in leadership, as maybe a lot of you have, and, you know, I know that when you give a vision out, it dissipates, right? You'll go out of here tonight, and you may be real cranked as something was said, or something like that, and then by next week, you kind of go, now, what was I excited about? You know what I'm saying? Because vision leaks. Well, you know, our mission leaks too. And, you know, it's common. It's common. That happens to everybody. Have you ever been to a seminar and you got all juiced up and you're ready to go, and about 2 weeks later, the book's on the shelf and you never look at it again, and it's all kind of gone? Well, that happens. And here's the reason, at least with our mission and vision, because the last thing Satan wants is for you to remember, right? The last thing he wants is for you to dent the kingdom of darkness and bring people over to the kingdom of light. And so our mission leaks. And so this week I was going to move on, and I thought, wait a minute, Steve. Before you move on, there's a few other passages you need to look at, because if I stop now, it's going to leak out by November 2nd and 3rd. And so I don't want it to do that. And so let's continue. We're going to continue from last week. Only this time we're going to listen to Jesus talking to his disciples in Matthew 9 and in John 4. When we hear Jesus remind his disciples really of the very same mission that we've heard from Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. So Matthew 9, 35, if you have your Bibles, we'll have it up there if you don't have your Bibles tonight. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, and it's in Galilee, okay? Teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. And when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. Now think about this for a minute. Jesus is busy with the ministry. He's talking to individuals. He's healing them. He's healing diseases and illnesses. And at some point, he looks up and he sees this great number following him, and he sees their lostness. I think I made up another word. Okay. Their lost state. Their lostness. And their lack of direction and their lack of understanding the gospel. And he's moved with compassion, the scripture says. Just like Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, that we are moved with compassion. Out of love. And so many people, just like we see so many people, we can't take it all on by ourselves. It's too big of a group. We remember that Jesus looked over Jerusalem. Do you remember that? He's walking towards Jerusalem and he goes, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. If I could have taken you under my wing like a chick." And he cried. Jesus wept, the smallest verse in the Bible, because he looked at all these people that didn't get it. And we need to help each other. That's why it's a commission and not a mission. A co-mission. A mission together that we can reach a greater group of people together. And we can do that if we pray for others and we pray for each other. And we stand up next to each other and bring these friends and people in. Now 37 says this, "Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest truly is plentiful.'" Now, what is the harvest? Pardon? People. People that don't know Christ. "And he said to his disciples, 'The harvest truly is plentiful.'" Oh, wait a minute, Steve. It isn't that way now. It was that way back then, but not in 2013. You think? No. I think I've had more opportunity to share Christ this year than last year and the year before that and the year before that. And so what does Jesus say? "Therefore, pray, beg the Lord of the harvest." Who's that? God, the Father. "To send out laborers into his harvest." Now, we don't know how he does that. Let's just confess it right now. We don't know how he motivates that. But what does Jesus say? Pray to him that he'll send out laborers into the field. So the question is, who is the Lord going to send out to this harvest? Thank you. You and me. And Jesus continues, and I want to move over to John 4. I think it's probably the same point. 31, he says, "In the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, 'Rabbi, eat.'" He hadn't eaten all day. He was too busy doing these things. And so, "Rabbi, eat." "But he said to them, 'I have food to eat of which you do not know.'" I love it when Jesus says those kind of things, don't you? "Therefore, the disciples said to one another, 'Has anyone brought him anything to eat?'" They're thinking somebody slipped him a loaf of bread or something in the process and they just didn't see. "And Jesus said to them, 'My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work.'" So we could take the practical application that what is our food? To do the will of him who sent us. And what is that desire that God has? We read it last week or the week before. 1 Timothy 2:4. "That all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth," right? That's the will. God desires that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And second, Jesus is saying that the people are ready to receive the gospel. And I get tired of people always say, "Well, in this day and age," you know, that's a little phrase we use so that we don't have to do the work and or that we're discouraged or whatever. There is no this day and age. People are ripe for the gospel. And he says at 35, "And do not say there is still 4 months and then comes the harvest." Isn't that what Jesus is saying? Oh, wait a minute. I don't think the people are ready yet. Maybe we need to get Billy Graham back out there and get him talking for a while and he could juice up the people and then we could go. "Do not say that there is still 4 months and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest." That was 2,000 years ago. And the question we have to answer in our heart is, that true today? God prepares their hearts and sends faithful people to witness to them, and they are ready, and he lets us have the fun of seeing people to come to Christ. Thirdly, Jesus says, pray for the laborers. Beg the Lord for those who will share the faith and that will invite others because they are ready to accept. Now, I want to go back to Matthew again and just repeat that. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray, beg the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. Pray for people who will bring them in." And that's why I put my name on top of my sheet, because I thought, you know what? I need to pray for me, first of all. I'm willing to pray for you, but I need to pray to be the harvester, right? I need to pray to be the one that goes out in the field, not the one that's sitting down at his knees listening to all of his words, which is wonderful, but get out there and do it. And I'm encouraging you to do the same thing. So here's what I want to do with that. I want to stop for a second and I want to pray for us. Do you mind? Father, we come tonight. Lord, when we hear these words, there's fear, there's anxiety, and yet at the same time, we hear the words of peace, the gospel of peace, that people can have peace between you and them, which is huge. So, Lord, will you grant to us tonight the courage to approach our neighbors, approach our friends, that they might be able to hear the gospel, that they might be able to hear that you love them and want them. And maybe, Lord, this will be for the first time we might be, they may be hearing the gospel. This may be the closing point. We don't know. But Lord, we want to say tonight that we are yours. You tell us to do what we need to do, and we'll do it. In Jesus' name, amen. Fourthly, whether we sow the word or reap the harvest of souls, all the efforts of the past in people's lives will come to salvation for many. We all enter into the ministry of reconciliation together, all of us doing our part and sharing. Now listen to what he says in verse 36, because it's so similar to what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3. "And he who reaps, reaps wages, and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labors." Now think about this for a minute. When people come on November 2nd and 3rd and you invite them, there are probably most of them that somebody has already talked to about Christ, and they've heard it, and it's rolling around in their head. They're going to watch this video. We're going to offer them the chance to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and we're going to see a reaping. You hear me? We're going to see that reaping. And the problem is that we get, I mean, it's not a problem, it's a joy that we get to see this reaping, but then there are going to be some people that come here and they're going to look at the video and maybe the first or second or third or fourth or fifth time they've heard this, and they're going to be considering, and they're not going to respond to the gospel yet. And we have to understand that too, because it's not our job to make everybody a Christian. It's our job to share Jesus Christ in wherever they need, step by step, until they come to faith in Christ. Amen? Do you get that? All right. So we're going to enter into the labors of others, and maybe they will enter into our labors with them. And we will see the reward for that. And with those who we speak to and share the gospel, one day when we get to heaven, that's going to be a neat part of listening to Jesus Christ, is that we did what he told us to do. Isn't that cool? I love that when Jesus says you are servants and you do only what you're told to do. Well, I hope we do that. And I hope we do that here. I hope that every one of you make that effort. And you know, when we sow and when we reap, I remember when one man came to me and he asked me, "Can you show me how to be a Christian?" And I led him to Christ. Well, you know, during the whole time, and he prayed with me, and when he got done, he says, oh man, I feel like I've been, he says, you won't understand this, but I feel like I've been like born all over again. He didn't know the gospel, and he didn't know what he was saying. And I said, well, you're not going to believe this. And I turned to John 3 and talked about how Jesus had talked about being born again. But you know what? I knew people who would talk to him and talk to him and talk to him and talk to him about being a Christian and about Christianity in his life. And he didn't get it till that moment. And I got to enter into the joy of that. But what's great is in heaven, we're all going to collect together and be happy that they spoke and I spoke. And I just got to the close. They put into them and put into them. And we can't forget that. Because I look at it, and I remember that in California, just a few weeks before I gave my life to Christ, a man witnessed to me, and I was ticked. And I was looking for a way to kind of dog him because I was under so much conviction, and the guy's witnessing, and I finally said, just stop it. I am not interested in what you have to say about your God. Now, 2 weeks later, I finally trust Christ. And I wished I had known where he was. I liked to have gone back to him and said, you know, you thought, and I could tell in his face, he kind of shrunk and realized, okay, it didn't work this time in his life. Well, it did. You see what I'm saying? And so I look at it just from my own personal life that we don't know when we share Christ, just because they have a bad reaction or a reaction at all means nothing, because it's about not the reaction, it's about the heart. So here's the thing. I want to encourage you. When you go to your neighbors, you might say, hey, I'd love to have you watch Billy Graham with us. It's probably his last crusade. Would you be interested? He's 94 and a half years old, and he still is talking, and he's still evangelizing, but we don't know whether he'll be alive next year. And so would you be willing to come to church, and we're going to watch him speak? Or did you ever think about going to church? Or do you ever think about spiritual things? Or we have this church out on Highway 7. You know that one? And they'll go, oh, yeah, that's really a pretty church. Do they ever say that to you? Oh, they say that to me all the time. Well, would you like to come? Would you like to come and see the inside? Do you ever think about eternity? My pastor's a funny guy. Want to come listen? We have a coffee bar. Can I have you come with me and I'll buy you a latte and we'll drink some mochas together or whatever? Would you like to come and find peace in your life? We're having an open house. Would you like to come? You're Catholic? Do you know that over 50% of the people in our church have originated from the Catholic Church? Now, I just had them raise their hand in both services on Sunday, and it was over 50% in both. Is there some problem in your life? Would you like to hear an answer to that problem? You mentioned that you would like to come see the church, and we're having a Friends Day. Would you be my friend and come? Ooh, that's a little pointed, isn't it? We can invite him, can't we? Here's what I want to end with. And I love Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6, if you'd never get a chance to read it, start with verse 1. It's great. Isaiah has this vision, and he's in heaven, and he's in the great temple. And it says in the Lord is sitting on his throne, and in the train of his robe fills the temple. And there's smoke, and the walls shake, and that kind of thing. And then finally some angels come over and they take a tong out of the fire and put it on his lips and says, your iniquities are forgiven, Isaiah. And then finally the Lord speaks up and he says, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then I said, Isaiah said, here am I, send me. I'm here, send me, send me. And he said, go, tell the people. And as we walk out tonight and we eat soup together and fellowship and I don't know where you're going tonight, will you think about that? Here am I, Lord, send me. And I know it's hard because some of you are scared to death. And I get it because I've been scared to death too. And all I'm saying is just rely on God. Didn't he promise to give us the words? Here am I, send me. Father, we come tonight.